Well, we know you're going to enjoy the next part of our program this afternoon. It's the conclusion of our Bible drama that began on Friday. Please remember that no one is allowed on or around the stage or near the video monitors to take pictures during the drama. Although cameras, video recorders, and other mobile recording devices are permitted, if operated from your seat, please be considerate of others by not blocking their view. And please do not use flash or other forms of electric lighting. No cameras or recording devices are to be connected to the electrical or sound systems at the convention, nor should equipment be placed in aisles or in traffic areas. Like part one, today's drama is based on Jesus' earthly ministry and is in the style of a stage play. We know that your faith will be strengthened as you watch these moving accounts come alive. Now let's enjoy part two of the video presentation entitled, For a Certainty, God Made Him Lord in Christ.
May you all have peace. I am Messaper. Earlier, we considered some of Jesus' miracles, including the resurrection of Jairus' daughter, remember? Now I will continue my story about why I know for certain that God made Jesus Lord and Christ. This is the home of Herod Antipas, the Roman-appointed ruler of Galilee and Perea. Jesus performed many miracles in the territories under Antipas' jurisdiction. I personally witnessed some of these amazing signs. May I remind you that this Herod is the one who, despite fear of retaliation by the people, killed John the Baptist, something Herod probably regretted. So you can imagine Herod's reaction when he heard about Jesus and the many miracles he was performing right in Herod's own dominion.
I cannot concentrate. I am an accursed man. Eubulus! Eubulus! Where are you? Search for Eubulus and bring him here immediately.
As you wish, my lord.
Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? And what is he scheming? Is he somehow connected with John the Baptist? I never should have put John to death.
Antipas, what is the matter? Are you well?
Eubulus, I had a dream last night. In the dream, this Jesus of Nazareth appeared, lifted me up in the air, then dropped me to the ground. And while I was on my knees, he pulled out a long, long, heavy sword and chopped off my head.
What? Calm down, please. Sit. What are you talking about? What is this dream?
Tell me, Eubulus, what do you know about this Jesus of Nazareth?
My dear husband, the servants told me that you were very anxious this morning. I brought your counselors. What can we do to help?
I'm glad to see you, my lovely Herodias, and thank you for bringing my counselors. You came just in time. I was asking Eubulus here about Jesus, the Jew, who's going throughout my dominion causing great commotion.
Yes, Antipas was telling me about a dream, a nightmare.
Never mind about the dream. Just tell me who this Jesus is. I hear about strange things, everything that is happening. Very perplexing rumors about Jesus. Have you heard any stories about him?
Well, the reports are mixed. If you ask some of the Pharisees, they will tell you that Jesus is a blasphemous man and that he deceives the masses. There are scribes in Jerusalem saying that he is empowered by the demons.
But if you ask the common people, well, that is a different story. Some say he is Elijah, returned from the grave.
Others even claim that Jesus is John the Baptist, the man...
Do not mention that name in this house ever again! Ugh, how I hate that man. He got what he deserved.
I heard that
Jesus is related to the man I killed. Do you think he's out to exact vengeance?
My Lord Antipas, I believe there is no reason to fear this man. He is merely a carpenter with a following of fishermen and other simple people of the land. His popularity is sure to die out quickly.
What about these miracles he seems to be performing? Are they real?
May I suggest that you summon him? Bring him here and ask him to perform a sign right in front of your eyes.
That is an excellent idea. And when he fails to perform a miracle in your presence, you will see that he is nothing more than a simple man with the ability to seduce people into following him.
Is this man Jesus of Nazareth? Herod Antipas wanted to know. He was perplexed and anxious. People were coming to Jesus from Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, even from Idumea in the south, and from the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon all the way in the north. Great multitudes came to him when they heard about the many powerful works that he was performing. The issue of Jesus' identity and credentials must have been a subject of great discussion and controversy, and Jesus was quite aware of it. One day, while he was journeying up to Caesarea Philippi, he brought up the subject of his identity with his apostles. Jesus made sure that his disciples understood beyond any doubt that he was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. Listen in.
Jesus, may we rest here, at least for a few minutes?
Of course, and we can drink some water.
We will reach Caesarea before noon. I wonder if we will be well received by the people.
Of course they'll receive us well. We have the Messiah with us.
What makes you so sure of how the people view me? Let us talk about this for a moment, brothers. Who are the crowds saying that I am? What have you actually heard?
I know the answer to that.
Let the others speak first. Bartholomew, what have you heard?
Some of my relatives are saying that you are Elijah, that somehow Jehovah has brought the prophet Elijah back to life.
Judas, what have people told you?
Pardon me, Lord, what's your question?
Judas, what are you doing? Counting money? This is important. You should listen to what Jesus is saying.
Who gave you permission to speak? I know what I'm doing. Lord, I'm just making sure we have enough money for lodging. Surely we don't want to sleep outdoors tonight.
John is right, Judas. Please listen carefully. This is very important. Matthew, what are the tax collectors saying?
Well, I heard talk about you being Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets of old.
Teacher, where do all these ideas come from? Why would people believe that you are someone from the past? No prophet has ever come back from the grave.
Thaddeus, the scriptures do speak of Elijah coming before the great and awe-inspiring day of Jehovah. I can see how many who lack understanding may conclude that Elijah himself will return from the grave in this system of things. Simon, who are the people saying that I am?
John the Baptist.
Yes, even Herod Antipas. That fox, as you called him, fears that you might be John the Baptist, coming back to haunt him.
Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. You, though, who do you say I am?
You are the Christ, Son of the living God.
But how do you know that? What makes you so confident?
How do we know? Well, we have seen your works and your wisdom. You speak the words of Jehovah our God. Your sayings are inspired by God.
The priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Jewish leaders, they have also seen the signs I perform, and they have heard what I preach. Yet they do not believe in me.
Teacher, for a certainty, God has made you Lord and Christ,
Brothers, think of all the prophecies that point to Jesus as our Savior, the promised Messiah.
Happy you are, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in the heavens did. Also, I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my congregation, and the gates of the grave will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you may bind on earth will already be bound in the heavens, and whatever you may loosen on earth will already be loosened in the heavens. May it be Jehovah who reveals my identity to all those who deserve to know it. Men, brothers, please do not identify me as the Christ to anyone. Do not say that I am the Son of God or the Messiah. Let Jehovah reveal it to those who have faith.
Did you get the sense of what Jesus just told his apostles? Especially what he said to Peter. Happy you are, he told Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in the heavens did. How did Peter recognize Jesus as the Messiah? Was it simply a matter of Peter having been an eyewitness to many of Jesus' miracles? Was it Peter's mental ability or human wisdom? No. It was his spirituality, his friendship with Jehovah, that enabled him to discern the truth about Jesus. Thus, Jehovah revealed it to Peter. A person can witness countless miracles, but if he has no spiritual perception, those miracles will have little or no effect on him. That explains why most religious leaders in my day completely missed out. On the other hand, those of us who had faith in Jesus witnessed some of the most important events in history. Let me give you one example.
Him.
The girl is right. It is Jason, the blind man.
Jason? It is you. I can't believe it's you. Jason, the blind man.
This cannot possibly be the beggar. He just looks like him.
Well, I am he, but I'm not blind anymore. I can see for the very first time in my life.
How then were your eyes opened?
The man called Jesus made a paste and smeared it on my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and gained sight.
How can a man who was born blind be healed from his blindness? That is impossible.
I'm told that the man spat on the ground. Then he bent down and made a paste by mixing his saliva with the dirt. After that, I felt him smear the paste on my eyes. I did not know what was happening. Yet, when I washed the paste from my eyes, I began to see. Other than that, I do not know anything.
You said that the man's name is Jesus. Where is this man?
I do not know.
Excuse me. Jason, is that your name?
Yes, Rabbi, I am Jason, son of Eliezer.
I am fascinated by your story. Could I please persuade you to come and relate it to my friends? They are teachers of the law, like me. In fact, they are over there by the edge of the market.
I know exactly where they sit. I could get there with my eyes closed.
Please, come with me.
My brothers.
What is this? Are you that popular with the crowds now?
My brothers, you must listen to this man's story. It is quite intriguing. Jason, please, tell them who you are and what happened.
My name is Jason, son of Eliezer. Probably you've seen me, sitting by the side of the road, asking passersby for money.
Wait a moment. You're the blind beggar from down the road? How is that possible?
Well, let me explain. I was born blind. But yesterday, Jesus of Nazareth put a paste on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see.
Did you say yesterday? Yesterday was the Sabbath.
This Jesus of Nazareth is a sinner. He is not a man from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath.
How can a man who is a sinner perform signs of that sort? See for yourselves. This man was born blind. He did not get sick and then recover. His blindness was not caused by an accident or by a disease. He was blind from birth. You are all witnesses of this, as we have all seen him on our streets begging. Clearly, this Jesus is a man of God.
Calm down, please. There is no reason to be divided over this issue. Jason, what do you say about him, since you say he opened your eyes?
I believe that this man Jesus is indeed a prophet.
How do we know that he was really born blind?
People, the beggar's parents are here. What do they have to say about it?
Yes, you seem to be respectable Jews. Please help us resolve this issue. Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?
First, let me reassure you, I am a God-fearing man who observes the law of Moses.
Please speak frankly. Why do you hesitate?
Well, it's been said, there is agreement that if anyone acknowledges Jesus as a man of God, that person will be expelled from the synagogue.
Speak, man, and do not worry about being expelled.
We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how it is that he now sees, we do not know. And who opened his eyes, we do not know. Why do you not ask him? He's of age. He must speak for himself.
Very well. Jason, we rejoice with you, because you can see now. Give glory to God, not the man Jesus. We know that he is a sinner.
Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I can see.
But what did Jesus do to you? How did he open your eyes?
I told you already, and yet you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples also, do you?
You are a disciple of that man. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he is from.
This is certainly amazing, that you do not know where Jesus comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does God's will, he listens to this one. From of old, it's never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing at all.
You were altogether born in sin, and yet are you teaching us?
Throw him out! Take him away from here!
Jason, are you well?
The Pharisees treated me harshly, but how could I complain? Now I can see. I'm forever grateful to you.
But Jason, are you putting faith in the Son of Man?
And who is he, sir, so that I may put faith in him?
You have seen him. And in fact, he is the one speaking with you.
Then I do put faith in him, Lord.
That was an amazing miracle. The man had been born blind. That fact was undeniable. And God gave Jesus the power to heal the blind man so that he could see. Yet, how did the Pharisees react? They should have been awestruck over what was obviously God's power in action. Instead, the Pharisees portrayed Jesus as a sinner and got sidetracked by the fact that he performed the miracle on the Sabbath. They lacked faith. Pride and jealousy blinded them to the truth. On the other hand, humble people who were thirsty for the truth were convinced by this miracle and began to believe in Jesus. Recalling this event strengthens my faith too. Yet another miracle impressed me more. It was perhaps the most memorable miracle Jesus performed. Let me tell you about it.
Jesus.
Martha. I did not expect to see you here. Where's Mary?
They told me that you were coming and I just could not wait.
Martha. May you have peace. And may Jehovah comfort your mourning heart. Martha, we are all deeply saddened over the death of your brother, our friend Lazarus.
Thank you, Philip. I thank all of you. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet, even now I know that whatever you ask God for, God will give you.
Your brother will rise. Lazarus will live again.
I know that my brother will rise. I know that there will be a resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. The one who exercises faith in me, even though he dies, will come to life. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
Martha, my sister, my Father in heaven will bless you for your faith. Where is Mary?
I will get her. Lord, Mary is here.
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Lazarus was dead 4 days. His body had been carefully prepared for burial according to Jewish custom. He was not embalmed as the Egyptians were, so his body had already begun to decay. Still, Martha and Mary had faith in Jesus' power. They knew beyond a doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. So they took Jesus to the cave where Lazarus had been laid. A large stone was lying against the entrance to the cave.
Please, be quiet. Let us listen to what the Lord Jesus is about to say.
Take the stone away.
Lord, By now he must smell, for it has been 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. True, I knew that you always hear me. But I spoke on account of the crowd standing around, so that they may believe that you sent me.
Lazarus, come out!
Free him and let him go.
The resurrection of Lazarus provided clear evidence that Jesus was God's Son. Unlike others who had been resurrected, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Everyone knew that. As a result of this one outstanding miracle, many put faith in Jesus. Yet, not everyone reacted in a positive way. In fact, Lazarus' resurrection triggered a chain of events that led to Jesus' own death. From the moment Caiaphas, the high priest, heard about Lazarus, he began to conspire against Jesus aggressively. His intention was to kill both Jesus and Lazarus. Of course, Jesus knew he had to die. And in God's own due time, Jesus was killed by his enemies, by people who refuse to acknowledge his credentials. It is ironic, however, that murdering Jesus resulted in exactly what they had sought to avoid. On the day Jesus died, Jehovah God provided even more proof that Jesus was the Messiah. First, as Jesus was agonizing on the torture stake, at about noon, the skies went dark, and they remained dark for 3 hours. This mystified the people who were there. It was obviously a sign from heaven. Then Jesus said his final words, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." And at that very moment, there was a violent earthquake that split open massive rocks. The earthquake was so powerful that tombs outside Jerusalem were broken open and corpses rolled out. And in the temple, the large and heavy curtain that divided the holy from the most holy was miraculously torn in two from top to bottom. This happened almost simultaneously. It was Jehovah's power. And the people were in awe and in fear. The army officer in charge of Jesus' execution finally understood who Jesus really was. After seeing these things, he looked up at Jesus' dead body and proclaimed, "Certainly, this was God's Son." Jesus' death saddened me deeply. But watching these events play out before my eyes deepened my conviction and my faith in Jesus. Then, less than 3 days later, I saw Jesus alive. Yes, Jehovah brought him back to life. Later, I traveled to Galilee, and I saw him, and I heard his wisdom once more. I was part of a crowd of about 500 people that day. Then, before ascending to heaven, Jesus gathered with his 11 faithful apostles near the Mount of Olives. Let us watch Jesus' final moments on earth and hear his words.
It's hard to believe that Judas is no longer with us.
Well, it's hard to believe that he betrayed the Lord. After all he saw with his own eyes, all the miracles, and after hearing all of Jesus' teachings, day after day traveling with us, what happened?
Do we have to talk about Judas, the traitor?
I agree. Let us change the subject. You all know by now that a few days before Jesus died, James, John, Andrew, and I approached him privately and asked him when the conclusion of this system of things would take place. James, do you remember how he answered?
Yes. He said that he did not know. He said, concerning that day and hour, nobody knows, neither the angels of the heavens nor the Son, but only the Father.
He urged us to keep awake, because we do not know when the appointed time is.
Exactly. Well, now that Jesus has been resurrected and has a spiritual body and undoubtedly has special communication with his heavenly Father, could it be that the Father has revealed to his Son the day and the hour?
Greetings, my brothers. My heart is full of joy as I see all of you gathered here with me.
Lord, we wanted to ask you, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? Do you now know the day and the hour?
Peter, I know that this matter of the day and the hour weighs heavily on your mind. This is the second time you've asked. All of you, listen carefully. It does not belong to you to know the times or seasons that the Father has placed in his own jurisdiction. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the most distant part of the earth. Peter, may God bless you. May Jehovah be with you, Andrew. Thaddeus, may God's Spirit be with you. Bartholomew. James. Matthew, Philip, Simon, James, son of Alphaeus, may Jehovah bless all of you, Thomas. John, may God give you his Spirit and bless you with many days.
I know that Jesus is the Messiah? How do I know that Christians have the truth? I have answered those questions in my heart. What about you? You too can benefit by asking yourself, how do I know that Jehovah's Witnesses have the truth? Have you answered that question in your heart? You see, over time, The anxieties of life can blur our spiritual vision. As the years go by, we could lose our zeal, and our worship could become perfunctory. That happened to me at one point. Then I begged Jehovah for more faith, and he answered me. He helped me remember all the prophecies I had seen fulfilled and the great works Jesus performed when he was on earth. I had no reason to doubt. All I had to do was stay awake, stay alert, open my eyes, and take the time to consider all the evidence at hand. May Jehovah likewise strengthen your faith in Jesus our King, because for a certainty, God made him both Lord and Christ.
What a compelling presentation. Don't let anything distract you or hold you back from building strong faith and acting on it.